Welcome to episode 28 from Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent and trainer, Tina Zaremba. Today I'm talking with voiceover talent, Tracy Lindley. Tracy is relatively new to the VO world, but has had some tremendous wins. She attributes this partially to her marketing efforts, especially when it comes to using LinkedIn to find new clients. Listen in as we talk about how Tracy found voiceovers, how she uses LinkedIn, and an online program she created to teach other talent how they can use LinkedIn to find new clients too. So here's our talk. Tracy Lindley, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Totally. Thanks for having me, Tina.
So I want to start off by asking you, what is your origin story, specifically with voiceover? How did you find voiceovers?
Well, I'd like to say that I have this amazing acting background and voiceover found me, but it did not. I have no acting background. I'm just a mom. I've been reading out loud to kids since I could read. I used to volunteer at the library when I was like 12. I was homeschooled for a while. And so I had the flexibility to do that. And I worked for a cable company. I would read some spots for them on air, not knowing what it was really. Or not on air, but for them to broadcast on the cable network. And I just kind of kept doing that over the years here and there, didn't know what voiceover was. And after I had my third child, it just wasn't making sense for me to schlep into their studio anymore. And one of the producers told me that, you know, people actually built home studios and did this out of their house. And I was like, sign me up. Then I had a fourth child and I kept, you know, I started pursuing it back in the beginning of 2014. So I really haven't been in it a terribly long time. There's a lot of people who've been doing it longer than me. I think that, you know, I want it. I want it and I'll work for it. And I've been reading out loud so long that it just comes naturally to me. So I don't know. It's so much fun. I love that I fell into voiceover accidentally.
Well, you know, it's interesting hearing you say that you've been reading out loud to your children as well as when you volunteered at the library, because when I started off, it was recommended to me to go read to the deaf and the blind. There's an organization here in New York, I actually think it's nationwide, called Learning Alley, where I would go and read books that would be played for people who could not read.
Now that's amazing. I've heard of them and I love what they do. They bring life and joy and stories to people that otherwise wouldn't have access to them.
Totally. So were you working full-time at a cable station or something?
This was when I interned in college and, I had a full-time career in insurance for 5 years. And then I was a stay-at-home mom for a while. So that's kind of my career path. I haven't done a whole lot of stuff really.
So you were doing voiceovers when you were in college, and then the gentleman there said, you know, you can build a booth, and that's how you did that?
Pretty much, yeah.
That is so amazing. You've only been doing this since 2014. That blows my mind.
I just think, you know, you do have to have, got to have talent somewhere, but I mean, I just really think that it's a lot about passion, and it's a lot about, you know, are you willing to put in the work? Are you willing to research? Are you willing to find the best methods of how to do something and learn from maybe other people's mistakes? I listen to podcasts like yours and several others constantly because listening to somebody else's story could help me avoid a problem or do something that I hadn't thought of. So stories are very important, and that's a lot of what we do as voice talent is tell stories. But they're so powerful and they impact us so greatly.
Yeah, everything's a story, I believe, at the end of the day. You know, not just what we do as voiceover artists, but even the way that we connect. You think about how a child learns. I once had someone tell me, think about the story, the boy who cried wolf. You remember that story, and that children will remember lessons. They'll hook onto them if it comes to them in a story versus if you just tell them, don't do that.
Oh, sure. I mean, Aesop's fables. Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all character and, you know, just kind of common sense type things, but they're very powerful. I read those as a kid. I read a lot of those and fairy tales and all the fun stuff, but it helps shape you and it helps develop that character. And it taught me better than a parent could. Here's some common sense rules and stories. So
yeah,
definitely helps educate in a fun way.
Do you have a particular niche you focus on within voiceovers?
I love commercials. I do commercials with Pandora and iHeart and just, you know, here and there, random stuff with commercials. I do a lot of e-learning, corporate videos, you know, the web videos and the explainer videos. Those are mostly what I do.
Mm-hmm. So I know you're a mom of four. OMG. That is amazing. That's like a tribe as far as I'm concerned. Wow. That's a job in and of itself. So you're not just a mom. You are a mom. What is a typical day in the life of Tracy Lindley, voiceover artist, mom? I mean, how do you balance that?
Tina, you know there is no normal day. You're a mom too.
Sister, so yeah.
You get me. But okay, so my kids are 9, almost 7. Everybody's getting ready to have a birthday. The 9-year-old, so they're going to be 9, 7, 5, and 3. They're all about 2 years apart.
Okay.
So they're teeny tiny. Two of them are in school during the day. I really only have childcare a couple of days a week. And the rest of the time, I just make it work and fit it in. I also have, you know, I have in-laws to call on if there's an important session. But my kids are just, you know, they don't get to watch a ton of TV. So when they do get to, they sit down and they really watch it. I save it for when I really need it.
Yeah.
I try to be a very active hands-on mom. And I do have a lot of experience with children. I was babysitting alone when I was 12. So, I mean, I'm kind of good with kids and I just know how to work them. So it's, you know, I train them hard just to, you know, you gotta obey, you gotta have discipline in the home. And that way kids kind of, and also a routine is very important. So I play with them in the morning, we have some lunch, and during a 2-hour time in the afternoon when the little one's napping, I let my almost 5-year-old, she'll watch TV or play quietly or something. It depends on if I have to record or if I'm doing marketing or whatever it is. And, you know, that's kind of how my day goes. And then my kids come home from school. I don't have a lot of time. I do record in the evenings quite a bit when the kids go to bed. You just have to make it work where you can.
So, amen, sister. Yeah. So what would you say the percentage of your time is spent marketing versus auditioning?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I don't know. For me, marketing is just sort of a constant state of mind. I'm always marketing. I'm always making a new connection on LinkedIn or sending out an email to a past client that I haven't heard from in a while. It's just kind of something I do every day. I talk about my 5 daily reach outs. And what that is basically just, you know, try to reach out to 5 people a day. For me, I let it be something that isn't too stressful by making it. It can be a new person or it can be a follow-up with an old client, or it can be a warm lead where they're saying, yeah, I'll add you to my roster and then I don't hear anything. Something like that. So if I just focus on contacting 5 people every day, that's doable for me. That's actionable. And if it's more, great. If it's less, I'm not going to beat myself up over it. But it's just a constant state of mind to me.
How do you not look at marketing as something that's scary or intimidating? I talk to a lot of talent, myself included, and sometimes it can feel icky and intimidating and scary.
I think it's really important to have a healthy mindset about that. You've got to be confident that what you have is something that someone else needs. If you don't keep yourself up on coaching and training and understanding, you know, what the latest trends are or whatever, if you don't know how to do a real person sound, if that's what it calls for, then you need to get those skills before you are putting yourself out here, there, and everywhere. I think that that first year in 2014, I basically just researched and looked into things. I experimented a little bit with a couple pay-to-plays, but I booked maybe a couple of things that whole first year because I just really wanted to learn and to absorb it all and to become who I needed to be before I put myself out there. And I think some people, they're really eager and they're really excited, but they put themselves out there too quickly as I'm a professional, I'm a voice actor, I'm ready, when they're not ready.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, slow down a little bit, be excited, absorb all that information, take it in, write some notes, practice, get in a workout group, whatever it is. I recently took some improv and loved it. I just think it's important to get yourself to where you are ready to say, I'm a voice actor. I don't think anyone should just go around saying I'm a voice actor if they haven't done the work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. So you've created an online program in addition to building this amazing voiceover career called the LinkedIn Edge. How did that come about and what does that program look like?
Okay, so everything has a story and this is called Stories from the VO Booth. So let me tell you a story.
Please.
I attended FAFCON let's see, it was 2016. Mm-hmm. So it would have been the fall of 2016. And at that time, I really still hadn't, I was still pretty green. I'd been booking a couple of things. I'd been booking a few things in 2015. 2016 started to pick up. But I went to FAFCON and I felt, you know, the outsider syndrome that we all have and the imposter syndrome. And I got a little, you know, oh, I don't know if that I belong here. But anyway, so I got in there and everyone was so welcoming. We have an amazing community of voiceover people.
Yes.
And FAFCON is extremely family oriented. It feels like a family. But when you first walk in there, it doesn't, because you don't know anybody. And you know, if you're the new person. So I get there and the way that it's set up is it's the unconference, because it allows people to walk into the conference not knowing if they, you know, want to share, have something to share, but it opens up the floor to anyone who is attending to actually become a presenter. And so when that was offered to me, I, you know, my heart was beating and I'm like, do I have something worth sharing? Because in 2015, I'd started using LinkedIn more. I hadn't even been on there before. But then I jumped on and I started realizing that if you not only accept someone's connection or, you know, whatever, or if they send it to you or you send it to them, you should actually message them and talk to them and start a relationship. So I started doing that. And lo and behold, I'm booking jobs from that. And I'm like, wow, this is cool. So I shared that at FAFCON in 2016. And I didn't know if anyone was going to want to show up to something like that. So I introduced my topic and it got a lot of votes. People wanted to hear about LinkedIn marketing because LinkedIn just kind of sits in the corner for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
It's that other platform.
I know. It just sits there collecting dust. And people were like, oh, you can actually use LinkedIn to get business? Well, let me hear that. So I presented and the room was packed. And I'm talking people that I really respect and admire and look up to. And they're taking notes about what I have to say. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is valuable. And I get done and people were coming up and talking to me and making offers. I want you to be in my workout group. Would you teach me? Would you consult me? I'll trade you time for time. You know, all this stuff. And I'm like, whoa, okay. So I have something here that people find valuable and they want it. So I continued to get requests and emails and things and all this stuff throughout the next, you know, year and a half, until I decided I need to create an e-course, because I simply, A, don't have time to consult people one-on-one all the time. And I turned down some stuff because I just, my time is really limited, as we talked about, as a mom. Unless they want to hear screaming kids in the background, they don't. I have to have uninterrupted quiet time to consult people. And I was like, I can't reach enough people. So I need to create something pre-recorded so that people can learn at their own pace and I don't have to physically be there. But yet it's my heart and my soul and everything that I would normally teach someone. So I created this e-course and it embodies how I feel about marketing and LinkedIn. And what I want people to feel is passion when they think about marketing, because really it's somebody that you haven't met yet that can't wait to hire you. It's money that you haven't made yet, but it's there dangling in front of you. I mean, it's there. There's so many relationships just waiting to be built. And I want people to look at marketing as nothing but an open door of opportunity. And all you have to do is put in the work and step forward and create those relationships and make those pieces come together.
Oh my God, I love you.
I really want to inspire people to do that, because marketing doesn't have to suck. It really doesn't. It can be fun.
Yeah.
Relationships.
You know, I don't know if you had a chance to hear, I spoke to a woman who's not in voiceovers, but has influenced my career, named Alexandra Ginelli. She's a hypnotherapist. And I worked with her for a time. And so I thought, well, that maybe other voiceover talent would want to hear from her. And she and I were talking about marketing, because I was saying, well, how would you help someone who subconsciously has this block towards marketing? I do. And she said, it's just the story you're telling yourself. So I so appreciate you saying it's about connecting. It's about that opportunity that's waiting for you. Because to me, it just rang true to what Alexandra was saying as well. It's like, you just have to flip the switch to another story and then begin the work.
Right. It is a lot of mind over matter. It's how you feel about something is what you're going to achieve. I mean, I struggle with, you know, I could run so much more than I do. and I kind of get to my 3 miles or my 4 miles and I'm done. I've always wondered, could I run a marathon? And I just don't have the mental capacity for it, or have I not put my mind to something? So I really think, you know, you can overcome those obstacles, and you can really trick yourself into wanting to do something. You know, you just have to believe in it enough that you can get it. I know that sounds very woo-woo, but...
No, honey, I'm all about the woo. I am not new to woo. I love it.
Ever I do, I want to submit it to the Lord. It's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 talks about: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And I ask the Lord to direct my paths because I want to do things that are not stupid. I want to do things that are efficient, and I want to live a life of purpose that matters.
So what has been, because I'm still kind of wrapping my head around LinkedIn, that it can be a place to actually get work. I mean, how do you not come across as like bothering people or
that's a good question.
Desperate or, and I'm not saying you don't sound desperate at all, but that these are all things that come into my mind. It's like I connect with a complete stranger and then I thank them and then I let them know. I'm guessing it's about partnering and really having the mindset first and showing that you have something of value.
Right. Absolutely. What you just said. And I think, you know, it's good to have a few templates, something, a framework to work off of. And when all, I mean, before you send anything, send it to a friend. Say, hey, do you think this sounds spammy? Do you think that you would like to receive this or you would not like to receive this? Can I tweak it? I would definitely bounce it off of someone else. Just see, you know, get another set of eyes on it to look at it and see how it comes across. Because sometimes we're too close to our own writing. I always, if I'm going to write a blog that's going out to a bunch of people or whatever, I'm going to have someone else take a look at it, proof it, not just for mistakes, but just for how it comes across. So I would say that would be a good tip for people. Like you said, just remember, keep in mind, they have a need for voiceover. It's, if it's like a video producer and he's sitting there thinking, okay, I've got this script, I've got the video, man, who's gonna do the voiceover? I don't like my voice. And, you know, Susie in accounting, she sounds too sexy. So who else can, you know, whatever. They need somebody and they're just racking their brains thinking, who are we going to get? So they go to a pay to play maybe, and maybe they have to fish through all of those auditions. Wouldn't you love to show up on someone's doorstep and say, here I am and I can't wait to voice your project, whatever it is. It takes all that work and effort out for them. So what I tell people is just to have a client-focused attitude. How can I help you? What can I do to make your day and your job easier?
Mm.
And that's why I suggest, you know, make sure you're ready first. Because if they hire you and they can't wait to work with you and then you give them really bad sound or you can't take direction, that's a major letdown and you're not helping people by doing that. So that's why I think you do have to be ready before you really put yourself out there. And I do talk about that in the course too. I don't want to shut anyone's dreams down, but sometimes you need a little more time to get to where you need to be to throw yourself out into the world.
Yep. All on board with that. So how can folks learn more about you as well as your program?
Well, my website is just my name, tracylindley.com. The website for the course, if people want to look into that, it's thelinkedinedge.com. It's pretty simple. And there's a few videos. The way I have it formatted, I like to learn in an interesting and fun way. And I try to put in as many different ways to learn as possible. There's video, there's screen sharing, there's a PowerPoint slide with me talking, there's downloadable PDFs and things that people can use in their own business later on. If people want to buy it, then they have access to it for a lifetime. It's not going anywhere and you can learn at your own pace.
So, when you say downloadable PDFs, are you talking about like templates that they could use as reference points to?
I do have a message sort of framework. I never say, write this template, because then it's not your voice.
Yeah.
What I stress more than anything is to be your authentic self. Be who you are. I know it sounds like a Disney movie now, but I mean, some people have a very business-like way of speaking and writing, and I'm pretty goofy. So, I mean, those two are not going to sound the same if I give everybody the same template. And then what if, you know, a couple of people send the same one to somebody? Because that could happen. LinkedIn is a big world, but it becomes smaller.
Right.
It's been a real pleasure, Tina. I really appreciate your time too.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening in. Join me next week where I'm talking with Tom Deere. The H is silent. He's a voiceover talent and voiceover strategist. Tom will be sharing his experiences in the VO world, how he manages his time, and how he supports talent in learning how to build a business, not a lemonade stand. Until then, here's to owning our voices.